hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It's the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the first day of the post-constitutional world. It's December 19th, 2019. I am Derek Hunter. I am your host, and the president has been impeached in a shocking turn of events nobody saw coming. In the world's most telegraphed punch ever, Democrats have finally managed to fulfill a campaign promise, one of them anyway, to impeach the president of the United States. It's kind of funny watching they call it a debate, the floor debate on the vote. There's no debate at all. Debate is two people listening to each other or two sides listening to one another and then responding back and forth to one another. But Democrats were basically hell-bent on pushing this through, and they all got up individually and said, the president has done this, and he's done that, and he's threatened this, and it's extortion, and it's bribery, and it's all. They accused the president of everything short of driving a car off a bridge on Chappaquiddick Island and leaving a girl for dead. And they charged him with none of that. Instead, they have accused the president of wholly made-up crimes. Yes, that's right. Abuse of power. You have abused your power. Yeah. In an illegal way? Like, how do you abuse? What do you charge? Well, you've abused your power. That's not a charge. That's not a crime. But you've abused your power. And therefore, since you've abused it, we should impeach you. And obstruction of Congress. Again, never been charged. Anybody in the history of the world has been charged with obstruction of Congress. It didn't exist. Oh, they toyed with it during the Nixon impeachment, but they never got to the point of voting on it. But that doesn't matter. They saw something. You know what's important about obstruction of Congress? It can't really be refuted. If you say extortion and bribery, those can be refuted. In fact, those have been refuted by President Zelensky and everybody in the Ukrainian government. They're all on record saying that didn't happen. But obstruction of Congress, well, you don't even need Ukrainians to justify that. This is, you know, Benjamin Franklin famously, when asked what kind of government did you give us, and he said, a republic, if you can keep it. Well, unfortunately, Democrats are proving now that we can't keep it. As long as they're entrusted with power in this country, we can't have a republic. It is kind of funny. By the way, thanks for listening and downloading and all that good stuff and rating and reviewing on iTunes and sharing and all those things and helping the show grow. I appreciate that. It's funny to listen to these Democrats talk about their reverence for the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers are rolling at a rate that makes a drill bit seem like it's going backwards over in their graves right now, as the people who have spent the last 20 years calling the Founding Fathers nothing but a bunch of rich, white, racist slave owners who hate women too, by the way. And now they're up there, to honor our Founding Fathers, we must impeach Donald Trump. It's so important. The Constitution is a sacred document that must be adhered to, and therefore it demands that Donald Trump be impeached. To which I have to ask, have any of you morons ever actually read the document? And if you have this newfound reverence for the Constitution, might I draw your attention to the First and Second Amendments to that Constitution and the idea of religious liberty? So maybe you want to stop people from being ordered to bake cakes and things of that nature, since the right to freedom of religion is pretty unambiguous in our Constitution and doesn't have anything to do with who you diddle. Also, while you're perusing the First Amendment, before you throw up on it or set it on fire or whatever your natural reaction is to it, take a look below it at the Second Amendment. Read that one over and then tell me again about your reverence for the Founding Fathers and your love of the Constitution, okay? Think back on all the bile and garbage that you've spewed about members of the NRA or just average Americans who happen to like that Second Amendment right there and don't want to cede their ability to protect themselves and their families or their loved ones or their ability to just do whatever the hell they want in the land of the free and the home of the brave, or at least that's what we're supposed to be. And then tell me how much you care about that document. Like everything else, you like to pick and choose the parts that you like of the Constitution. Because if you actually read that thing, you would discover the limitations placed on government. The limitations placed on government that explicitly prohibit 95% or more of the things your candidates for president are promising the American people. The document that strictly prohibits 95% or more of the crap you guys are trying to ram through Congress on a daily basis. And tell me again how much you love the Constitution and where you happen to find the idea of abuse of power or obstruction of Congress happens to fall in the treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors bit that's in there. You don't get to pay lip service to the Constitution while relieving yourself on the Constitution 364 other days of the year. That's not how this works, you flaming hypocrites. It's times like this that make me wish we were British, because there are certain words that the British get to toss around, particularly four-letter words that start with, well, you can figure out what, if you know anything about the British culture or seen British movies, they toss one particular word around pretty freely, particularly at soccer games and places where they're drunk. And there were so many times yesterday where I was ready to tweet it out. And I just didn't. Not because I was afraid of the backlash from the left. I couldn't give two craps about what those people think about anything. But because I knew I would be disappointing my parents. And that I didn't want to do. So I didn't say it. But I can imply the hell out of it here, and you can figure out what it is. Oh, welcome to the show. Lots to talk about, sort of. I mean, really only a couple of topics to talk about, or different angles to talk about one particular topic. Yes, Donald John Trump became only the third president in American history to be impeached, but in a first. He's the first to ever be impeached for non-crimes. My God, these people are nuts. After five tries, five different votes for impeachment, the Democrats finally got it to stick. They finally found a campaign promise they could keep. They have impeached the President of the United States. Now what comes next? There's all sorts of talk and buzz about, will the House hold on to these articles of impeachment, not send them over to the Senate because they know they won't get a fair trial over there? That's some funny shit right there. That's, excuse my French, but that is just funny as hell. Oh, we're afraid he won't get a fair trial. We won't be able to call the witnesses. We're afraid that the Senate is going to treat us like we treated Republicans, and we're not going to stand for that. Also, you conflict that with the Donald Trump is such a massive threat to our democracy that we must act now to impeach him. We don't need to remove him at all, ever, or whatever. We don't have to even get to a trial. It's very important that we take the symbolic step of impeaching him and leave the rest for later or eventually or maybe not ever. Who knows? I don't know. But all I know is the vote must take place because we must get the process of not sending the articles of impeachment to the Senate. We must get that process started as quickly as possible. Anybody see a disconnect there? It's kind of funny. Tim Carney, the Washington Examiner, tweeted out after Rashida Tlaib, shockingly, she's the one who, on Inauguration Day, we're going to impeach the MF-er on Inauguration Day. She's the one who down there, she went down there and gave her speech about why she's supporting impeachment, as if, you know, after a long serious discussion with myself and my God, I've come to the conclusion that I'm left with no choice but to impeach Donald Trump. Tim Carney said, so Rashida Tlaib came out in favor of impeachment? Shocking. I responded, yeah, she found out that Ivanka's Jewish, and that was the difference maker. Because that's who these people are. They operate on hate. In one sense, it's a green economy. Eating hate and living off of hate is much greener, I'd imagine, than eating beef. But on the other hand, it rots the republic. These people not only need to be defeated, they need to be destroyed. They need to be decimated at the ballot box. They need to be thrown out on their ample asses, and the American people resoundingly need to tell these people that what you did was unacceptable. What you do is unacceptable. This is not it. This is an abuse. You want to talk about abuse of power, find a reflective surface that doesn't crack when you look into it. Let me first tell you about our sponsor before I start swearing and go off on another thing. Look, I'm talking about Life Change Tea. You want to know, Democrats could definitely use some Life Change Tea because Lord knows they are full of it. But you're not digesting the nutrients in your food, ladies and gentlemen. Not all of them, not all that you need. If you feel run down, you don't have energy. Listen to me, it's late at night and I've got tons of energy. I'm boundless. I'm living off a pissed off and Life Change Tea because it cleans you out. It's the tea that makes you go. It makes sure that your body is ready and able to absorb all the nutrients in your food that it has. It takes it all out of it, and it takes it out of you. Use as directed. Unless you're a Democrat, then chug the whole thing because you're so full of it, you might have to do two doses. Life Change Tea is available at getthetea.com. Enter promo code Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at checkout. You get 10% off your order. They're a great sponsor. It's a great product. They have all kinds of great products, and they're helping us out. Help them out. I appreciate it, and it really works. I've got a gallon of it sitting up in my refrigerator, as the kids say, and I drink a cup of it every day. Use as directed, and you, too, will have psychotic energy late at night or during the day when you need it most. I just need it late at night. Okay, Politico has this story. This has been floating around for a while now, this idea that, Politico reports House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer, the second-ranking lawmaker in the House, said Wednesday that Democrats must discuss a last-ditch gambit to delay sending articles of impeachment to the Senate and prevent the Republican-controlled chamber from summarily discarding the case against President Donald Trump. Oh no, heaven forbid that the Senate treat the House with the same level of seriousness that the House did, calling Democrat-only witnesses, withholding testimony, keeping it secret, keeping the whistleblower away so you can't ask him about when he actually contacted Adam Schiff. It's not about the whistleblower's identity and, we must protect this person. Everybody knows who he is. It's so that he can never be questioned about his relationship with Adam Schiff and the Schiff staff members he used to work with at the CIA. See, they don't want that to be known because then you might get to the point where you have a few more questions than answers about how this whole thing came to be, how somebody who wasn't on a phone call managed to file a complaint about a phone call that they mischaracterized wildly in their whistleblower complaint. And why was it that upon clutching the pearls after having Alexander Vindman, the probably most noble and honorable soldier our military has ever had, upon hearing about this phone call secondhand from him, was so moved to outrage by the actions and words of the President of the United States that he went and contacted the most partisan Democrat in the House of Representatives, somebody with a track record of lying, rather than, following the proper chain of command and filing a complaint on his own? Why did he seek counsel from Democrats? And why is it that little buddy Eric, the whistleblower, has photographs of himself and every member of Democratic leadership? Why would that be? I mean, it couldn't possibly be that this guy is a partisan hack. That would never happen, not in today's America. And Adam Schiff would never, ever allow that to happen. Adam Schiff would never allow himself to be compromised, which is why he is dutifully avoiding any position where he might be placed under oath, which is why, instead of him testifying before the House Judiciary Committee, as would be tradition about the findings of his committee on impeachment, he sent his lawyer to do it, because Adam Schiff doesn't want to answer questions under oath. Oh, he'll ask them and answer them from Anderson Cooper or Fredo Cuomo or Rachel Maddow or any of the other dudes over at MSNBC. But under oath, no. When you know you can lie with impunity, you'll happily sit there and spew your BS. When you know you can't lie with impunity, Adam Schiff is oddly nowhere to be found. But don't worry. Just ask him. He has complete and total faith in his committee's work. Just don't ask him to swear to it. It is hilarious and sad. Anyway, back to the story. Quote, Steny Hoyer, "Some think it's a good idea, and we need to talk about it," Hoyer said, just as the House began debating articles of impeachment that charged Donald Trump with abuse of power and obstruction of Congress, neither of which are laws. In recent weeks, some legal scholars have suggested Speaker Nancy Pelosi could consider refusing to transmit articles of impeachment likely to pass the House Wednesday evening to the Senate, where Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has declared he is coordinating trial strategy with the White House. Oh, no. Oh, you mean Republicans are working together with other Republicans? Whereas Democrats, they're doing what? Haphazardly seeing how this thing comes together? No, Democrats are coordinating with other Democrats, and Democrats are the ones who held freaking focus groups to find out what to accuse the president of. And remember, it's quid pro quo. Well, no, Democratic voter said Latin. That's very confusing. I don't understand no Latin. And so they said, bribery. All right, bribery. And so they started for about 3 days accusing the president of bribery. Then they realized that bribery is pretty well easily understood by the American people, and they didn't have anything remotely close to bribery to charge him with. So they dropped that. They tried a couple of other things, and then they ended up with the nebulous abuse of power and obstruction of Congress. But Democrats have a little problem with this strategy. See, Nancy Pelosi, we were told this was a very somber day. It's a very sad day. Nancy Pelosi has prayed again about this seeking strength. What do I do? All the while coordinating this and orchestrating it from behind the scenes. And she even wore black. This is such a serious day that, according to Axios and CNN, the Democratic leader has ordered Democrats not to cheer when the final vote is announced. Now, why, if it's such a somber day, you know, it's not like at funerals where people just randomly break out in standing ovations and hooting and hollering like it's 1992 and they're in the dog pound at the Arsenio Hall show. Why would Democrats need to be told that? Because they would have done it otherwise. You know they would have done it otherwise. That is who they are, and that is what this means to them. This is the one campaign promise they will be able to keep for their rabid base. The problem is the Senate is over there, and they're looking for evidence, and they're looking at evidence, and in what the House of Representatives is promising to send over to them at some point, there is a distinct lack of evidence, which is, I don't know, if you're playing the home game, kind of problematic when it comes to a trial, because there is A, the presumption of innocence, and B, the necessity that the prosecution prove a case. And it's kind of hard to prove a case when you don't actually even have a charge, when there is no crime alleged. How do you prove somebody abused their power if they did not commit an underlying crime related to that? How do you accuse somebody of obstructing Congress if you did not go to court to try to get the people to testify that you say the president was obstructing Congress from speaking to. See, even upon a five-year-old's little scratch-and-sniff level of inquiry, the Democrats' case falls apart. But it doesn't matter what happens from here on out, because as was the Democrats' objective from the very beginning, and I've played you all the audio of them saying it over the past couple of weeks, their main objective is to forever tarnish Donald Trump's record in the history books. He will have an asterisk next to him. He will be listed amongst Andrew Johnson and Bill Clinton as the only presidents to ever be impeached. You can't undo it. Just like a pregnant woman and a light bulb. Well, a pregnant woman is not a light bulb because you can't unscrew a light bulb. But you can't undo impeachment. The next Congress, even if it's 100% Republican, will not be able to wipe away that eye. And if you're a suicide bomber to the Constitution, like Democrats have become, you just want that little eye, that little asterisk next to the president to tarnish him, because that's all you care about. It'll be interesting to watch as the years go by how the media refers to Donald Trump relative to how the media spent the last 20 years referring to Bill Clinton. See, Bill Clinton actually committed crimes. Perjury is a crime. Obstruction of justice is a crime. Obstruction of Congress isn't, but obstruction of justice is. But they couldn't accuse the president of even that weak sauce of a charge because they knew they didn't have a case, so they had to create obstruction of Congress. Yet while Bill Clinton had committed crimes, and the only reason he ever confessed to any of it was because he treated Monica Lewinsky's chest like the front row at a Gallagher concert. That's an unpleasant image, but you know, that's how it worked. The only reason he confessed is because he got caught. He could no longer deny it. Once he ran out of the ability to deny it, that little thing called DNA, then suddenly he had to fess up. Then suddenly the argument went from I didn't do it to I did it, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Well, if obstruction of justice and perjury and subornation of perjury do not matter in a lawsuit filed under a law you signed into existence, if that doesn't matter, then nothing matters. Nothing matters at all. And Bill Clinton has had the asterisk removed from his name. They just wiped it clean. He is now just former President Bill Clinton. Oh, he's later come into more problems because of all his little rapiness behavior. But that was only because it became politically expedient for Democrats during the Me Too movement to not be seen as total raging hypocrites while they're trying to accuse them. You ever notice that more Democrats went down in the Me Too movement than Republicans did? Isn't that weird? And Bill Clinton was sort of one of the collateral damage people in that. He had to be, because they wanted to weaponize it against Brett Kavanaugh. And they couldn't rightly say, well, Brett Kavanaugh, when he was 15 years old, 31 years ago, was running gang rape parties in Chevy Chase, Maryland, and therefore he can't be on the Supreme Court. There's no evidence of that. There's one human being, Christine Blasey Ford, and her liberal lawyers who have since admitted that they did it, so he would have a little stain on his permanent record as well. They can't get past the fact that there was zero evidence. Even her friends had no memory of any of the wild allegations she was making. But that's different from Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton's accusers have proof. Jennifer Flowers had phone calls. Juanita Broderick had a long paper trail placing her and Bill Clinton at the same place, she told people at the time. She's told people over the years, long before he became president of the United States. Even it was so bad with Juanita Broderick and Bill Clinton that NBC News interviewed her and found her allegation of rape to be credible. They didn't run the interview at the time when it could have made a difference. They waited until after the impeachment vote because they were on Team Clinton back then. And what's a little rape for somebody who supports abortion rights? But things were different. And Bill Clinton's record was essentially expunged. You will not hear Bill Clinton really questioned about impeachment or even referred to as an impeached president in the past 21 years of mostly glowing media coverage. Only when it became a problem for Democrats accusing Republicans of things did they suddenly develop a conscience and say, well, Bill Clinton probably should have been, he deserved to be impeached. It's a problematic history with women. He got 21 years worth of a free pass. How many girlfriends he had in that time? Can you imagine? I bet a lot. Yes, a lot. But just for fun, let's stroll back in the Wayback Machine to this very day, 21 years ago. The year was 1989. The day was December 19th. The House of Representatives had just voted to impeach President Bill Clinton. Listen to how then NBC News anchor Brian Williams described the situation. This is the very opening of the NBC nightly newscast that day. See if you can spot any possible bias in this cut.
Good evening. It has been a day for the history books here in the nation's capital, though historians may not look kindly on what transpired behind me here today. William Jefferson Clinton is now the first elected president to be impeached by the House, the second president in all of history.
Boy, did you spot any bias there? Oh, history might not look kindly upon what those evil damn Republicans did, because you know they suck. Poor, sweet, innocent, nourishing Bill Clinton never did nothing to nobody except for maybe Monica Lewinsky and her dry cleaner. That's it. Oh, man, America's hero. In fact, here's a little supercut of the Democrats talking about how serious and solemn a day. Can somebody buy these people a thesaurus so they are not so stupid and do not sound like they're all reading from the same hymnal since government is their god? No, they can't. They know that they're playing really for their audience back home, and Congressman Nobody from Nowhere is not going to see this clip from people. It's they're playing for their home base, and they're all lying. They're all full of crap. This is a very solemn occasion. It's with a heavy heart that I rise to do what I've been promising to do since day one. Oh, it burdens my soul to gleefully come up here and say, yeah, we're going to impeach the MF-er.
We gather today under the dome of this temple of democracy to exercise one of the most solemn powers that this body can take.
It's with solemn purpose today that I vote to impeach.
Madam Speaker, it is with a solemn sense of duty that I write.
Madam Speaker, as we take this solemn, necessary step of impeaching President Trump,
I rise on this solemn occasion.
Impeaching a president is one of the most solemn and consequential.
I cast this solemn vote for the many individuals in my district.
Members of Congress swear a solemn oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and today we fulfill our oath.
Madam Speaker, I rise with a heavy heart to support this resolution.
I rise today with a heavy heart.
It is with a heavy heart, but a resolved one.
Madam Speaker, it is with a heavy heart and a profound sense of the gravity of this moment that I rise today in support of the impeachment.
Madam Speaker, I rise with a heavy heart. The two most difficult votes any member of Congress ever has to cast to vote to go to war are to impeach.
Today, as Speaker of the House, I solemnly and sadly open the debate.
This is a very sad day, and I do not take impeachment lightly.
I am saddened, but I'm not shocked.
It's with profound sadness that I stand here today.
It is a sad day in America.
Today, sadly, we are voting to impeach President Donald John Trump.
Yes, I am saddened, but I'm not shocked.
y tristemente estamos presentes considerando las acciones de nuestro presidente de los Estados Unidos.
Oh, Dios mío, what will we ever do? It's such a heavy heart I rise with. Such a heavy heart and such a somber day. I am so sad. Is my reservation ready over at the restaurant, at the bar? Do we have the private room so we can toast all of this when we're done without the prying eyes of the media? I mean, of course, the members of the media we didn't invite. Good, it is. It's all set. Private room at Morton's. Good. Then, oh, it's Capitol Grill. Okay, all the better. Their tomahawk steak tastes better. Yes, it's such a solemn day. I might lose sleep over this one, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I rise today with a solemn, heavy heart and tears in my eyes to announce that I, for the fifth time, will vote to impeach the President of the United States in the past 2 years for all sorts of things. Actually, that's not that far off. Jan Schakowsky, Democratic Congresswoman, has voted 3 times already for the impeachment of the president, Donald Trump. She then rose yesterday to say that, oh, her serious, solemn commitment to law and order in the Constitution was brought about by her hippy-dippy liberal activist son. That's why she rises. Anybody believe, because she says that in this clip you're about to hear, that my son over the summer in June convinced me to vote for impeachment because he reminded me of the oath I've taken 11 times. Really? You've taken an oath 11 times and you couldn't draw a conclusion on your own until your idiot son came along and told you you should do it? Also, she's lying because she 2 times last year voted to impeach the president about his tweet about asshole countries and the tweets about and his statements about NFL players kneeling. She thought both of those things rose to the level of impeachment as well. So you can see how cheap these Democrats have made impeachment. Congratulations. Here's Jan Schakowsky.
It is my adult son, Ian Schakowsky, whom I will always credit for my decision last June to support an impeachment inquiry. It had never been my goal to impeach a president, but Ian made such a compelling case. He reminded me of the oath I have taken 11 times now to support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So taking the oath 11 times didn't inform your decision. Your son saying, "Ma, President Trump sucks." That was the deal breaker for you, Congresswoman? I don't know what these people are thinking when they go down to the floor. I imagine it has something to do with, "Oh boy, I've got a great argument. Ooh, the world needs to hear this." And that only comes about with this level of stupidity when you're dealing with people who never, ever hear contrary opinions. Never, ever hear anybody disagree with them. They don't have, I wouldn't pay my staff to disagree with me. Nobody's allowed to disagree with me. My son is the reason I'm voting for impeachment because he made a compelling case? Really? What does your son do? Is he trading off your name and your 22 years in Congress, Congresswoman? I somehow suspect he might be a little bit. I don't know for sure, but it wouldn't surprise me if it turned out that he was. Would it surprise you? Got Hunter Biden Schakowsky over there making money off of mommy's job. Can't imagine that she raised a productive member of society. Can you? These are, wait, we got one more. This one is rich. This one is Joe Kennedy, a guy who's only in Congress because his last name is Kennedy and he's related to the Kennedy clan. I spell it with a K. Kennedy clan. He's talking about the dignity of the office. Now, keep in mind, this guy is a Kennedy. Keep in mind all the things that Kennedys have done. And he uses this opportunity to go down to the House floor and talk to his young children. Why? I love it. You know, don't bring children into. You cannot mention the children of politicians. Meanwhile, the politicians are dragging their adult children and their underage children into this thing, and they're using them as shields. They're using them as shields. Why? Because progressives will use anything at their disposal. They will discard the truth. They will trample people. They will destroy people. They will rip on the Constitution. They will do anything in order to advance their agenda. Nothing is sacred to them except government, and they must control the levers of government. Here is Congressman My Family is Famous.
Dear Ellie and James, this is a moment that you will read about in your history books. Today, I will vote to impeach the President of the United States, and I want you to know why. He broke our laws. He threatened our security. He abused the highest, most sacred office in our land. I want you to know that it does not feel good. I can't stop thinking about the cost to our country. Not just the impeachable offenses, but the collateral damage of a president who uses power like a weapon against his own people, erodes our decency, degrades our dignity. I don't yet know how they will tell the story of this era, but I want to tell you the story of this day. Let the record show that today, justice won. That we did our job, that we kept our word, that we stood our sacred ground. Let the record show that we did not let you down. I love you. Listen to Mom.
Gentlemen's time has expired.
He erodes our decency and degrades our dignity. Do not pay any attention to what my Uncle Teddy did all over this place, or my Uncle Bobby, or my Uncle Jack. No, never mind. And never mind the fact that President Kennedy and Attorney General Kennedy, that they were in cahoots with J. Edgar Hoover, violating people's rights left and right. No, pay no attention to those things. Never mind the woman that my Uncle Teddy left for dead underwater in his car. Don't pay any attention to that. The real threat to democracy is an innocuous phone call with a Ukrainian government official. And just know that when the chips were down, I stood up with the ghosts of my forefathers and the ghosts of my family members. I mean, not they weren't wearing their Klan hoods. They weren't fully members of the Klan. They were just racist. But still, I stood up with them and little Billy and Jenny or whatever the hell his kids' names were. Don't worry, I stood up for what was right when it was situationally advantageous for my political party, a party that would reject the my uncle who was president of the United States. No, forget all of that crap. Just know that when the chips were down, I did the bidding of my party in the name of the Constitution or something or other. I forgot. I mentioned somber and heavy heart and solemn. Yield back the balance of my time. Anybody, I mean, you could pick any one of these floor speeches today about how absurd it is. There's Val Demings on the floor earlier of the House, Congresswoman from Florida. She's holding she has a big sign next to her. No one is above the law. Absolutely no one is above. It's very important. And this was another theme that they repeated. It was a mantra that they were chanting. No one is above the law. We must make clear. I mean, and across the country, all the illegal aliens in sanctuary cities were getting nervous. They're like, wait a second. You promised us we're above the law. A wink and a nod. Not you guys. You guys are still above the law. Don't worry about it. You're illegal, non-American citizens are above the law, but no one who is a tax-paying American is above the law. And everybody else gets a free pass. But, you can come here and stay here. Don't worry about that. That law doesn't apply to you. But if you are the president of the United States and you happen to be a Republican, you are not above the law. Even when we create new law for you to be under, you are not above the law. No. You can't make this stuff up. Well, you could try, but nobody would believe you. This is the insanity. This is where the Democrats have taken the House of Representatives, ladies and gentlemen. The next Democratic president should absolutely be impeached. For what? Who cares? It doesn't matter. Let's do it. Let's get rid of the president. Let's just get rid of it all. Let's retroactively impeach Barack Obama. He obstructed Congress as well. He refused to turn over documents on a great number of investigations when it came to all the scandals involved in the Obama administration. He needs to be impeached. He's making millions of dollars now anyway, hundreds of millions of dollars. Does he really need Secret Service protection? We could strip him of that and his presidential pension. Let's get rid of it. He deserves it. If this is the standard, let's do it. Republicans take back the House, retroactively impeach Barack Obama, and strip him of all the trappings of the presidency, the retirement benefits of the presidency. Let's do it. Let's do it all. Bill Clinton, while we're at it, take another bite at that apple. Why not? If you don't want to redo the charges he was already impeached on, let's add the charges that the House decided not to impeach him on. I bet maybe Democrats would be forced to vote for impeachment of Bill Clinton retroactively for the rape of Juanita Broderick, because what are they going to do? They're supposed to believe all survivors. I mean, let's really play this game all the way out. I mean, if they want to start it, let's finish it. Let's finish it. Of course, they don't want this applied to them. They think that when they leave the bathroom after a Mexican feast, that it smells like nothing but a meadow of flowers. They are frauds, ladies and gentlemen. Speaking of frauds, Eric Swalwell was down on CNN. Eric Swalwell, God love him. You know, he is one of the dumbest human beings ever to achieve congressional membership and is proof that this country is so great that even somebody with an IQ smaller than their belt size can become a member of Congress. So he's on CNN. He's talking to Wolf Blitzer. What you are about to hear is essentially another case, an argument that the Democrats have been making. But what Eric Swalwell does with it is amazing. It's right up there with his tweet about, well, we can take your guns because the government has nuclear bombs. Basically, meaning if you're going to try and keep your guns when he wants to collect them, they'll nuke you. We can just nuke you. It doesn't matter. He repeals verbally the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution while simultaneously turning on its head the concept of due process, the concept that people in this country, anyway, are innocent until proven guilty. It's amazing. If you really listen to Democrats, they're advocating for a Soviet-style justice system where you are guilty unless you're proven innocent, not until, unless you're presumed guilty. It's the Kavanaugh rule. But they're taking it to the presidential level. Here is Eric Swalwell repealing the Fifth Amendment. Oh, by the way, Wolf Blitzer doesn't challenge this at all.
Can you send us the witnesses who you continue to block from us hearing? Because unless you send those to us, we can only conclude that you're guilty. Because in America, innocent men do not hide and conceal evidence. In fact, Wolf, they do just the opposite. They are forthcoming and they want to cooperate. And the president is acting like a very guilty person.
The president is acting like a very guilty person by not proving his innocence. Okay, Eric Swalwell, let's play your little game, shall we? I think there's a possibility that you have molested children and small woodland creatures. I'm going to need you to prove that you haven't, or else I'm going to have no other choice than to assume that you have. Okay, can you do that for me? You got to prove that you didn't do it now, Eric. Don't worry, take your time, figure it out. I expect you to open up every financial record you ever had. I expect you to allow investigators to talk to everybody from your past, talk to everybody you know about everything you've ever done, every job you've ever held, every off-color joke you've ever... You wouldn't have anything to hide now, would you, Eric? But you've got to prove your innocence. And until then, I'm just going to assume that you are a serial pedophile. Don't worry about it. Once you prove to me you didn't do it, I will absolutely believe you. But your word is not good enough. Testimonials from people, that's not good enough. I'm going to have to do a thorough investigation, and we're going to need every record of everything you've ever touched. Not like that, although, yeah, probably like that, too. But, you know, just go ahead, disprove that you have molested children, please. Go, and don't forget the small woodland creatures. Those have rights, too. That's the difference. That's the insanity of what he's saying there. Prove that you didn't do it. And since the president didn't prove that he didn't do it, then he must have done it. The president has refused to participate in this witch hunt. Therefore, that means that he must have done it. Not that this is so absurd. I mean, by the way, it was the president of the United States who released the transcript of the phone call. Kind of an important detail. The piece of evidence, the central piece of evidence, the transcript that showed absolutely no demand for an investigation, no quid pro quo, nothing whatsoever. You also have the president of Ukraine saying, "There, I didn't know there was any pressure. I didn't feel any pressure. I don't know what you're talking about." All summarily dismissed by Democrats. That's not enough evidence for Democrats because they came into this with the presumption of guilt, which is anti-American. It is un-American. It is downright evil. It is Soviet, to be perfectly honest with you. You are guilty. Now let's find out what you're guilty of. At least in the Soviet Union, they cooked up some kind of thing that was an actual charge, an actual crime. In the impeachment mess, they just made it up. Because everything that they tried to accuse the president of, he didn't do. They knew that they couldn't prove that he did it, so they had to create something that he couldn't disprove he didn't do. Are you following that crap? All right, now I'm seeing this on Twitter from a reporter from Politico named Sarah Ferris. It looks like what I talked about at the top of the show, Democrats might actually be doing. She's reporting that Nancy Pelosi said that they might hold on to the articles of impeachment unless and until they find out whether or not they can get a fair trial over in the Senate. Well, you have no leverage over in the Senate, lady, so tough shit. You want to hold on to the articles of impeachment because you just want to say that you impeached the president without having to put on a trial, because at a trial, the American people will see how bogus your charges are, your claims are. Yes, that's right. You don't want that. You can't handle that. She said, quote, that whether or not sending the articles over, said, quote, that would have been our intention. But we'll see what happens over there. So far, we haven't seen anything that looks fair to us. But right now, the president is impeached. Well, I would say that the president is not impeached until the process is complete. And the completion of the impeachment process is sending the articles of impeachment over to the United States Senate. Since Democrats are refusing to do that, then that would mean that the impeachment process is not done. You can pass a piece of legislation, but not send it to the Senate or send it up to the president for their signature, and that piece of legislation doesn't become law. That's how it works. Why should it be any different with impeachment? Of course, Nancy Pelosi's biggest problem is she doesn't have a case. She doesn't have any evidence to prove her case because there are no criminal charges in the articles of impeachment. That's kind of a big deal. Politico reports Speaker Nancy Pelosi refused to commit Wednesday to delivering articles of impeachment to the Senate, citing concerns about an unfair trial on removing President Trump from office. Senior Democratic aides said the House was very unlikely to take the steps necessary to send the articles to the Senate until at least January, a delay of at least 2 weeks, perhaps longer. Now, remember, we've been told that this is so damned important that we must do it immediately. These articles cannot wait. Oh, my goodness. It is so important that we remove President Trump because he's such a threat to our democracy. Now, he's not a threat to the democracy somehow. What has changed? Nothing. Nothing. But now the Democrats are seeing that they'd have to put on a case if there was a trial. And what they've sent over to the House isn't enough to get an indictment. and they know it, let alone a conviction. So they're going, well, we, in order to get a fair trial, we need to change the rules completely to benefit us. Well, why should the rules be changed to benefit you? Why should you be able to call additional witnesses? Why should you be able to demand additional evidence? You had enough evidence in your minds to impeach him. Why do you think that you don't have enough to get him convicted? Were you lying all along, Nancy Pelosi? Well, of course she was lying all along. They've all been lying all along. Did I mention that they're Democrats? That's what they do. That's where they live. By delaying the passage of the resolution, Pelosi and top Democrats retain control of the articles and hope to put pressure on Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to adopt trial procedures they consider bipartisan. Here's a little pro tip for you, you ditzy little reporterettes over at Politico. If the Democrats get their demands met, that is not bipartisan. That is, wait a second, isn't that extortion? I thought extortion was bad. Is it bad or is extortion not bad? What's going on? Actually, this is a win for President Trump and a win for Republicans. They don't even have to go through the motions of a trial. President Trump can sit there and say, look, I was never impeached. This partisan hackery was just some resolutions passed by the United States House. They knew it was so weak and so partisan that they didn't even dare send it over to the United States Senate for a trial. I don't see how Democrats can spin this into anything they can call a win, except for the fact that they'll have every journalist in the country on their side saying, well, the president is impeached and Democrats are demanding a fair trial. That's what the talking point will be. I guarantee it. The word fair will become the word of the day. Yesterday it was somber. Tomorrow it will be fair. We need fairness. We need this. We need that. Fair, 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 fair. What's fair? Giving the defendant rights or stacking the deck for the prosecutor? Now, the party of Democrats are the party of let everybody out of prison. My goodness, we have over-criminalization. We have too many people. The prison industrial complex, the school-to-prison pipeline. Holy Frank Tanana, all we do is put minorities in prison. This is horrible. We need to let everybody out of jail and allow them to vote while they're in jail. But the president of the United States does not deserve any due process rights. You already have Eric Fartwell on the record talking about how the president is guilty simply by the fact that he didn't prove he was not guilty. So why stop there? Let's just throw out the Fifth Amendment. Let's throw out the whole Constitution. Now that the Democrats have passed articles of impeachment, theoretically they can stop pretending to give a damn about the Founding Fathers and the Constitution anyway, can't they? How long do they plan on lying? Well, I guess about 300 and some odd more days until after the election. Then there'll be a little bit of truth-telling, and then they'll be back to lying because there'll be the 2022 elections. These people are the biggest frauds I've ever seen in my life. And I grew up in Detroit, and I grew up around some people who did some time, and I've seen some frauds in my life, and this is the biggest damn joke ever. The only thing that's a bigger joke is the media that will go along with this, the throne sniffers like Chuck Todd and everybody at CNN, they'll pretend that this is a masterstroke. I guarantee you, somebody will use the term masterstroke. They will use the term fairness like they get a royalty check every time somebody does, because that is the buzzword of the day. Take it to the bank. In fact, here's Nancy Pelosi at a press conference long after the vote, where she's tossing around the word fair and tossing around the idea of not sending the articles of impeachment over, which, to my mind, doesn't complete the process and therefore is not official.
We withhold the articles. Could you presumably withhold the articles for weeks until you get what you consider a fair trial?
Well, again, we'll decide what that dynamic is. But we hope that the resolution of that process will be soon in the Senate.
What do you consider a fair trial?
Cheryl, did you have one, Cheryl? Did you have a question, Cheryl?
Did I have a question?
Yeah.
I do have a question. What do you consider a fair trial?
What are you looking for? Are you looking specifically for witnesses, for documents?
Well, let me tell you what I don't consider.
Agree with the plan that Senator Schumer laid out?
What I don't consider a fair trial. This is what I don't consider a fair trial. That Leader McConnell has stated that he's not an impartial juror, that he's going to take his cues, in quotes, from the White House, and he is working in total coordination with the White House counsel's office. Any comments, my colleagues, on that?
At which point, Nancy throws it out to Jerry Nadler to come in and save her. She had to have a piece of paper handed to her to read what she just said there, by the way. What I don't consider a fair trial is that Leader McConnell said he's not an impartial juror. Do you really? Was the House impartial? What's the House? No, Republicans, you can have one witness. Oh, of course you can have a Minority Day hearing. You can have it in February, long after this is all done. It never said we had to do it before we voted, blah, 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 blah. Nothing about this has been anything close to fair, but Nancy Pelosi is very upset. I don't think they want an examination of the evidence in this case, and I know that they don't want a quick acquittal, which is what the evidence warrants. If this were a real trial in a court of law, it would be dismissed with prejudice almost immediately, mostly because there is no crime alleged, which is kind of an important thing. When you're charging somebody with a crime, you can't go, well, the impeachment is a wholly political thing, and that's all. It's just political. And then, okay, it's time for the Senate trial. Well, no, that is where the rules of the court apply. That is, no, it doesn't work that way, honey. It doesn't work that way. Now, here comes Jabba Nadler slithering up to the microphone to try and make his weak-ass case.
Let me just say that, obviously, Senator McConnell, by that declaration, has said that he is so, as in effect, the foreman of the jury is working with the defendant's counsel. That's not fair. We'll have to see what else, but that's certainly an indication of an intention to have an unfair trial.
Jerry Nadler, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, who got the job because he said he was the best person to run impeachment inquiries against President Trump. He said that back in December, January, quoted in the New York Times. That's kind of rich coming from him. Well, that's not a fair trial. Oh, yes, it's a fair inquisition. I'm sure that the people who ran the Salem witch trials thought they were fair. Look, if she floats, she's a witch and must be killed. And if she sinks, well, she wasn't a witch and she's gone on to a better place. These people lack general basic self-awareness that human beings have. So then there were questions. I do like how Nancy Pelosi went, do you have a Cheryl? Cheryl, do you have a question? Cheryl, do you have a question? And like she kind of wakes up this female reporter who she assumes is friendly, and she just parrots what Manu Raju of CNN was saying. Like, yeah, I do have a question. I'll ask what the man just said. You know, Nancy was trying for equity and a friendly question. Well, here comes Nancy again to take another bite at the apple, and I hope that she's using her Polident because her teeth always sound like they're falling out.
We'd like to see a trial look, it's up to the senators to make their own decision, working together, hopefully, in recognition of their witnesses. That the president withheld from us, their documents that the president withheld from us, and we would hope that that information would be available in a trial to go to the next step, because that's another level in terms of conviction, in terms of this. But right now, the president is impeached.
No, he's not. The House passed articles of impeachment, but the deal is not done until they pass them on to the United States Senate. It's in a weird limbo. It's just bizarre. They want all the glory that they can get from their radical base, but they don't want any of the responsibility that they'll get from everybody else. Then the press conference rambles on.
Go ahead.
Could you never send the articles? Is it possible you would never send the articles over?
We're not having that discussion. We have done what we have set out to do. The House has acted on a very sad day to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, to do so in a manner that was fair, even though the other side was mischaracterizing it. Nonetheless, it was fair and appropriate and urgent. And urgent. So we will make our decision as to when we're going to send it, when we see what they're doing on the Senate side. But that's a decision that we will make jointly.
It was urgent. It was so urgent that we act that we're not going to complete the process. It's so urgent that we act that we're not going to complete the process. We must act now so that we can wait till later. That's exactly right. Anybody buying this stuff? Seems like everybody's getting played on this one. I didn't think that the Democrats would actually go to this. I thought that they would, because this is just going to make it seem as nakedly political as it is. And they really, they have no faith in their case. If this is the best that they got, they have no faith in their case. What's funny, lastly, the Washington Post, remember, the word of the day was somber. A woman, I assume, named Rachel Bade, who is the Washington Post congressional correspondent and CNN political analyst, of course. She tweeted out a picture of herself. Somebody called, let me look up this name, Paul Kane, who is the Washington Post congressional reporter. Somebody named Karun Demirjian, however you pronounce that, who cares, who is a reporter at the Washington Post and a CNN analyst, because they all are. Somebody named Sinmin Kim, who is a Washington Post reporter and a CNN analyst. And somebody named Mike DeBonis, who is a Washington Post reporter, covers Congress. He must be really ugly or stupid because he's not a CNN analyst. Tweeted out a picture of them at a restaurant having drinks. And Rachel Bade tweeted, "Merry Impeachmas from the Washington Post team." This is journalism. Jeff Bezos, hello. I know you don't care because it only cost you the loose change in your pocket to buy the Washington Post. But credibility should matter. It should. It doesn't anymore. It does not. Sad, sad, sad day. It was weird, though. I did see a bunch of Democrats, Democrats, tweeting about how Donald Trump now has the record for the most impeachment votes ever with 230. That's a new record. And he also holds the number two slot with 228 votes for impeachment. Ooh, he is historic. They were mocking it. There were at least three of them. It's weird how the hive mind works. Within minutes of each other, they're all tweeting the same thing. But of course, if you look back at history, and history is important, context is important, unless you're a liberal trying to make a point, and then you want nothing to do with context because it never actually makes your point. The impeachment of Andrew Johnson, because the fair way to do this, the smart way to, well, I guess I'll use the word fair. The right way to use this would do this would be to do it as a percentage. Andrew Johnson was impeached 126-47 with 17 members of the House not voting. There was a total membership in the House back then of 190. So as a percentage, by far, Andrew Johnson holds the record. But if you're Jonathan Allen or you're Aaron Blake or you're Jacob Levy, these journalists who are tweeting this crap out, you're not interested in fairness. You're not interested in accuracy. And they're likely unaware of history because history to these morons is what just happened. What a Democrat just gave them is news and history. Anyway, that's it. That's your day. We'll have more reaction as this settles in and we get to see what Nancy Pelosi is actually going to do and what kind of pressure is brought to bear. And whether if I'm Mitch McConnell, I'm just saying, yeah, we're not going to take your advice. Screw you, lady. Impeachment isn't complete until you send it to us. And I would just stick with that talking point and run with it. Drive them nuts. Force them to submit. The Senate is the upper chamber for a reason. The House is junior high. The Senate is college. Whether Democrats want to admit that or not, That's the way it is. They do not control one another. So it'll be fun to watch, if nothing else. And it's good to see that President Trump is really seeming unfazed by this garbage. We'll have more reaction tomorrow. Don't forget, you can send me your Festivus, and I appreciate those of you who sent me your Festivus airing of grievances. Keep them coming to Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at dailycaller.com. It'd be a good time on Monday when we have the airing of grievances. It doesn't have to be political, but I suspect a lot of them will be. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.
We have done what we have set out to do.